This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica stations. Ecuadorians have chosen the continuity of a left-leaning government over a neoliberal agenda in a recent presidential election. Former Vice President under Rafael Correa, Lenin Moreno, was elected by 51% of the vote, beating conservative banker Guillermo Lasso. Lasso's supporters have taken to the streets for several nights of protest, alleging election fraud. But Ecuador's election results have upended a recent rightward shift in Latin America. Joining me to discuss it is William Black, Associate Professor of Economics and Law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. He's a white-collar criminologist, former financial regulator, and author of The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. Welcome to the program, William.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, let's talk about what it means for this very sort of clear ideological split in Ecuador. Under Rafael Correa's presidency, how had his party made the case that his style of government, his ideology, and the values that he espouses were best for Ecuador?
So this is a quite a remarkable thing, and the irony is that his expertise and his PhD, which came from an American university, was on the Washington Consensus. And the Washington Consensus is typically considered sort of the neoliberal blueprint that helped produce the series of economic disasters and financial crises that brought to power Correa and similar folks in many places in Latin America. But what people have forgotten, and the author of the Washington Consensus always is upset about when he's criticized as a neoliberal, is that he said, you know, what we really need is increased expenditures in three areas: health, education, and infrastructure. And of course, that's precisely what Ecuador had not done under the rule of the oligarchs. It's hardly unique to Ecuador. That was fairly common in much of Latin America. So President Correa, when he came in, faced a number of challenges. All the governments in recent history in Ecuador had not finished their first terms. So there had been enormous political instability. And the contracts with the oil companies, and that's the dominant source of hard currency for Ecuador, had been negotiated by prior oligarchs in a way that was exceptionally beneficial to the oil companies and bad for Ecuador, such that even though the price of oil was rising, almost none of that went to Ecuador. And Ecuador had a whole series of serious foreign debts, plus dollarization of the currency, which meant it gave up its sovereign currency. So it was beset politically, it was beset economically. No good answer, except that Correa, as a PhD economist, found an answer. First, he had a debt commission look into the debts, and they repudiated debts that had been inflicted in violation of international law. Second, he renegotiated the oil contract so that Ecuadorians would get a fair share of the money, and that allowed him to reduce the debts, get out of the IMF clutches, and to borrow also some from China, which didn't put those kinds of strings on. And he responded by more than doubling expenditures on education, health, and infrastructure. And by and large, the money actually produced results, so that Ecuador is a country, of course, with it's difficult to put roads into the Andean highlands and other places you don't certainly want to put roads because of ecological reasons. And so it took very long and amounts of time to get fairly short distances in many places in Ecuador. This has been transformed. Education has been transformed. Public health has been transformed. Ecuador had been the leading exporter of people in response to its banking crisis, mostly to Spain because of immigration limitations in the United States. And this reversed. Ecuadorians began coming back so that net Ecuador's population was growing on the basis of immigration to Ecuador exceeding emigration from Ecuador.
Wow.
And they achieved political stability, where they not only served out the terms, but eventually he served for roughly 10 years. And now, anybody who serves for 10 years, of course, a big chunk of the population is, I'm ready for a change.
So let's talk about Guillermo Lasso, the opposition leader, and he did win a substantial amount of votes, 49%. What did he represent, and why was the vote so close if Correa's policies have been so successful?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to, that paradox. So Correa was reelected several times, and indeed by a very considerable margin, and in elections that were real. But there are a couple of things. One, as I said, people, and this is true all over the world, tend to get sick of the ruling party and blame it, understandably, for all the ills after it's been in power for 10 years. So this is an effect that happens in the United States as well, as I said, in other countries. But the oligarchs, of course, hate Correa and his party with a purple passion. And they are still extremely wealthy, control all of the major industries in Ecuador that are not governmentally owned. And they are quite willing to spend a ton of money defeating Correa. There have also been sort of the inevitable splits within a coalition, so that Correa faced opposition not just from Lasso, who, you know, is the huge bank owner, so complicit in the banking crisis of the 1990s, and the leading provider of tax evasion services via Panama for Ecuador's oligarchs, which has, of course, helped to create, along with the substantial drop in the price of oil, economic problems in Ecuador. So Correa significantly reduced unemployment, poverty, and income inequality at the same time. But there's still a number of people unemployed and a number of people underemployed. They have jobs, but, you know, not particularly great jobs, earning such. So there's going to be discontent. There was also some real corruption in the governmental-owned oil sector in particular. There's likely corruption from the same source as the Brazilian scandal about Odebrecht, this huge construction company that dominates Latin America. One irony is that early in his term, that company was kicked out of Ecuador and the right wing went crazy, saying it was the most respected construction company in Latin America, and how dare Correa and his henchmen kick them out. Well, now they're criticizing him for ever allowing it in. And of course, he's not the one who allowed it in. It had been there before him, and it will be there after him. It is the dominant construction company in Latin America. So there are those series of things. And we knew that the election was going to be close because the opposition, various opposition parties, had won mayoral elections in many of the largest cities of Ecuador. And by the way, when they did, there was simply a peaceful transition of power from Correa's party to those opposition parties. In every case, the vote was respected. And so Lasso's claims that the elections are rigged have been denied by all of the poll observers from the Organization of American States, the OAS, which is no particular friend of Correa, and the analog, which represents South American states, also had poll observers. In every case, they report that there was no indication of fraud. And this was a runoff election. Ecuador has a somewhat typical, somewhat complicated first stage that says if you get a big enough plurality in the first round and dominate any opponent, there is no second round. Well, that second or one of those elements, they had to get 40% of the vote. This is Lenin, the new president. And he got something like 39.7% of the vote. Obviously, if they were going to scam the election, it would have been easy to get 0.3%. There wouldn't have been a second election.
Let's talk about Lenin Moreno. So he's the vice president under Rafael Correa, now the president. Who is he as a person? How have his policies been exposed, not just while he was vice president, but during the campaign? Does he represent straight continuity from his predecessor, or is he his own man?
He's definitely his own man, and he's definitely in the broad stream of continuity. And by the way, it's worth emphasizing, Ecuador is not just like Venezuela. It's not remotely like Venezuela. Correa was nothing like his Venezuelan equivalents. The government of Correa was a government overwhelmingly of technocrats, which included the vice president, now the president-elect of Ecuador. He's someone that was robbed, and in the course of that robbery was shot, and so he has been in a wheelchair for much of his adult life. He was a UN representative to expanding things to folks who are disabled. I know that word is not necessarily approved by all members of the community, but whatever word you consider appropriate, this is someone who understands hardship. He's considered to have a better voice than Correa, and Correa loved to sing. he loves to sing on the campaign trail, and it's harder to sing when you're sitting. You can't project as well. He is considered to be sort of friendlier than Correa. Correa definitely had a tart tongue with regard to his opponents and what made a lot of jests at their expense. Lenin is considered sort of more people friendly.
Any significance to his first name, by the way?
The usual. People in many places in the world name their kids after folks they consider to be their heroes, and people who follow football, or what we call soccer in the United States, Ronaldo is named after Ronald Reagan.
So finally, William, this particular vote in Ecuador goes a little bit against this increasing trend toward rightward governments once more. We've seen a decade of leftward swings in Latin America. Now that pendulum seemed to have been swinging back towards the right, except for Ecuador. What does that represent continent-wide, do you think? Could Ecuador give confidence to other left governments looking to come back into power in Latin America?
Absolutely. And as I emphasized, Ecuador isn't just like Venezuela. Venezuela, in fact, had many bad governmental policies. Correa, while he openly said that he was a supporter of democratic socialism, was someone who was very pragmatic. Again, he's a technocrat, trained as an economist, and had policies that were sensible and was personally honest. And, you know, his administration certainly had some problems with corruption, including, by the way, his brother, who he had to fire as head of the central bank. But in the grand scheme of things, much less corrupt than other places and not personally corrupt. So the party isn't opposed by the general population in the same way that some of the other Latin American nations where the parties of the left became identified through the media as essentially corrupt.
Well, William, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and shedding some light on this issue in Ecuador. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care.
My guest is William Black, Associate Professor of Economics and Law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. He's a white-collar criminologist, former financial regulator, and author of The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.